Hey, welcome back to the CTO Advisor. Again, we are looking back at 2020. Not looking back and remembering 2020 as a year, but the virtual conference that we held back in 2020. We're having as many of the speakers as we can back on the show. While this podcast episode itself isn't sponsored, Chia Chia Khan and the fine folks at Wilo, who has supported the CTO Advisor several times over the past couple of years, had a sponsored session. Again, this isn't a sponsored message. This is just a chin wag between me and Chia Chi. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me here again, Keith. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, back home, we're recording this, I'm been back home a week from the CTO Advisor road trip. I've gotten away from the smokes of California. How's the smoke there in California?
Oh, it's not getting better, but hopefully business is. So that's all that matters for now for us.
You know what? Speaking of business, WIA is a offers a monitoring solution, and we'll get into the solution in a bit. But before we get into that, let's talk about the past 18, 19 months or so. How has business changed for WIA from a, you know, day-to-day stuff? Like, are people coming back to the office? What's going on?
Yeah, people are slowly coming back to office. You know, budget is getting released a little bit more. You're returning to normal a little bit. That's what we see. But the journey for the last 18 months, what it took us, you know, pretty much get the company and our solution extended from, you know, the usual application service delivery performance management for the application, but used by the IT staff team. We extended that message and the needs for just application performance to end user experience, where end user are sitting at home behind the VDI virtual desktop or physical desktop through VPN into the organization's data center. So it's been an interesting journey, and with the dynamics happening with how user access their application.
So let's talk about that, because I think that has a lot of value as we look back at lessons learned over the course of the pandemic and how we've adapted. And I've talked to Tim Crawford from Avoya about the return to office and how CIOs and CTOs are all challenged with all the cultural things that have to happen. One of the stories that me and Tim shared was that at the onset of the pandemic, we had customers who literally took desktops off of their employees' desks and have them bring them home because they didn't have a strategy of work from home. Talk to me from an application management perspective about the early days. Like, what was some of the initial reaction to your existing customers and prospects?
Yeah, from the application perspective, that has not changed too much. So that part is still there. The challenge remains to be there. But the application service delivery now have to go across either the VPN link or WAN link to, you know, either virtual desktop on-premise and then the thin client link back to remote home office, or physical desktop at home office and all the way through VPN back in the data center. That last leg seems to be a huge challenge. On top of, you know, if you do use virtual desktop deployment, which is very popular now, and we believe it's going to extend even after the pandemic, virtual desktop is very convenient, but certainly has its own challenges as well. So you got hit by both front, one on the networking side, the last leg to the home office. And also, if virtual desktop is everything virtual, we all understand virtualization on the server side, but on the desktop side, people are still learning how to manage that.
So let's talk about some of those learnings, because I've done VDI for quite some time. One of the things that we talked about on the kind of early part of the journey is that we did this massive study of comparing all of the major VMware cloud solutions. It was sponsored by Oracle, in which we compared Oracle Cloud infrastructure to VMware Cloud on AWS and Google Cloud, Google Cloud Platform's VMware solution. The application that we targeted was VDI, because there was this need to scale VDI instantly. So going from 1,000 VDI users to 10,000 VDI users, the best way to do that, hey, use the public cloud as a resource and use your existing VMware solution. That's on how we did it on the infrastructure side. But one of the things I didn't think of naturally is application, the impact on application performance. What are some of like the surprises customers experienced as they scaled, or even for the went to VDI for the first time? What were some of those kind of gotchas?
Yeah, I mean, you nailed it, right? Scalability is one big thing to start it out with. A lot of our customers, when they do VDI, they do a POC, VDI, 10 sessions, 20 sessions, no problem. Even 50, they can go by with it. When you go above from there, 100, 200, then that's when the problems started to occur and the mystery just started to come in, right? The last leg, as I mentioned, the one leg from the virtual desktop to the home user, the visibility for that last leg usually is out of your control. It could be your service provider at home, could be your Wi-Fi at home, and that comes and go. That's a huge challenge for most organizations.
So how did you guys help customers solve that? Because again, this is stuff that's out of the control. If you know, I just spent 3 months on the road, working from LTE, 4G, 3G sometimes, and I have a full VDI deployment in my data center. And it is, I'm grateful for it, but still, there was just things like, if I'm connecting over 3G, 4G, LTE, you know what, it is what it is. There's not a whole lot I can do. Like, what were customers doing in response to the thing? Was it more you guys helping them to pinpoint that 4G, that the connection was the issue versus the application? Like, what information did you surface up, and what did customers do with the information?
Yeah, that's exactly. You're also right that if it's your service provider, you know, what can you do about it, right? Probably not too much. But is it really your service provider? Is it really your 3G LTE? That's the first question usually people need to ask, because their experience is, hey, when I'm at home or when I am in the office, everything seems to be fine. Once I get home, you know, everything wrong. Is it because of my home or something like that? But it's not always the case. So what we do to solve that problem, or at least to identify the problem, is give you all the matrix, right? What is your network round trip time from your virtual desktop to your network, to your home network, to your thin client at home, to give you that metrics, to compare that metrics to your application response time? Who is responsible for your end user experience? Is it network? Which part of the network, or is it because of your application server simply overloaded and responding slow? And back to the VDI issue, it could be your virtual desktop. All of a sudden, people come in and starting to use the resources on either VMware or other virtualization platform that's caused this resource shortage to cause the end user response time. So it could actually take, you know, many directions. You know, I say many times the problem is the last leg of the network, but not necessarily every time. So knowing where it exactly is would actually be the starting point.
Yeah, as I think about the architecture of VDI, there's so many places where it breaks. I'm not going to say where it can break. It's so many places it breaks. If you're inside of, like, if you're sitting at your desk at work and you're using VDI, the experience between sitting at your desk using VDI and sitting at home using VDI can be impacted by the different access methods. I'm accessing VDI over a gigabit connection. So there could be traffic like printer traffic, file system sync file sync between the VDI section and my local desktop or my laptop running that works perfectly well inside of the office versus when I get home that has to now go over a WAN link to that can be a problem in itself. Then there could be a problem with the VDI, as you mentioned, a problem with the VDI infrastructure itself. When we go from supporting 10 VDI users to 100 VDI users, are we experiencing a sandstorm for when users all hit the same resources? Is there a bottleneck there? Is the VMware cluster now overwhelmed temporarily? Is all the different things that can go wrong with VDI itself you have to troubleshoot? And then there's actual application performance. Nothing really changes until something changes, i.e., you know, when 1,000 VDI sessions start at one time, all of it is super high speed connection. More than likely, the VDI servers are sitting right next to the application servers. They could have a 10 gig connection from VDI, from the VDI backend to the VDI applications that they're accessing, versus everybody in the office only has a gigabit connection to the same resources. So there was a natural gate at the network. There's no longer a gate. How do I discover that? Like, how do I discover where the bottleneck is at?
Exactly. So, you know, you need tools for that, right? So, you know, not to jump on my own soapbox, but the tool really helped to give you that, what we call the end-to-end visibility from the very left, from the end user, human, thin client, virtual desktop, VPN, firewall gateway, all the way to the very last tier of the application, maybe authentication server, maybe your database servers or something. That end-to-end visibility, that visual, that hotspot indication, that is the key, right? We call it the application dependency mapping. At the early days, it is mapping out multi-tier application from the load balancer, front-end server, back-end server. With the VDI, you just have to extend the left-hand side even beyond just the very front end of the load balancer, beyond the VPN, beyond the gateway, beyond the ISP, all the way to home, to end-user thin client desktop. That's what we're doing for, you know, visualizing the chain. We call it the application dependency mapping, and then with color to indicate where exactly the bottleneck is.
Yeah, and I know as some people may be listening to the podcast, they may be wondering, well, you know what, that's fine for when you're using legacy applications that require Fed clients, but oh, we're all HTML5 based organization and all of our apps are web based. Yeah, and the one thing that I've learned over my career, that scale breaks everything. Like when you're accessing those applications in office, it's a completely different experience when you're extending that all the way to the edge. So you might have HTML5 based apps, but you introduce this long leg. If you're not accustomed to supporting external workers at that scale, even with modern application architecture, you still run into a lot of challenges. One is, okay, now I'm still going to put these apps behind an SSL VPN. Is the SSL VPN the problem? Is the application load balancers the problem? Is it the bandwidth going into my data center? I didn't have to worry about bandwidth before. Now I have to worry about bandwidth because now the application network traffic pattern has completely changed, because now I have employees who used to all be in San Francisco. Now some of them are in New Jersey. Some of them are in Florida. Latency becomes an issue where it was not an issue before. How do I discover these challenges?
Yeah, exactly right. And then the geographic grouping, I mean, a lot of this is about grouping user, because a lot of the way that we identify issue is compare user A and user B. They're both coming in New York, for example. Why is user A getting that perfect end user experience? And why is user B, you know, not getting so, even though they come in from the same location, right? So thin client, Wi-Fi at home, all the way down to what application are they running? Even running the same application, are they running the same transactions, right? For example, one is just retrieving data, the other one is generating reports, and the one generating reports are complaining it is slow. Of course, you're generating report. So IT needs to know that, and then the tool being able to give you that granular level of view really help you understand what we call the end user behavior, so you can support them better.
So, Chi-Chi, we're going to give you a chance to make a pitch for Wheatload. I mean, there's a lot of performance management tools out there, a lot of application tools out there. Your tool usually enters the enterprise via the low level, like an engineer has a problem, and you're advertising the tool to solve the problem. But then it gets higher level to kind of my level, and I look at it, like, you know, I got 8 or 9 of different one of these. Why is this any different? How is Wheatload any different?
Yeah. Hey, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. So since I'm jumping on to pitch my story, my company name is Wheatload, U-I-L-A. So we've been in the industry for almost 10 years now. So how we're a monitoring tool, troubleshooting tool. How are we different than the crowded market that's already have so many tools, right? So nowadays, people don't need more tool. They need a useful tool. And then instead of having more tool, they want less tool. Right. So what we see is people try to consolidate. I don't want 10 modules from one vendor. I don't need 10 vendors or 10 vendors tool. I need one that's really useful that can correlate data from my networking to my data center, to my VDI, to my VMware resource, to my cloud. Right. So that basic tool is not meant to replace everything, but at least that's a fundamental thing you should have rather than, you know, 10 different silo tools. So that's who we are, which is, you know, one tool that is good enough for 80, 90% of your everyday life. You want to see networking, networking's there. You got end user experience, you want to troubleshoot your database, you want to look at application performance, VMware resource provisioning, optimization, and most importantly, the use case, you know, troubleshooting. And we are there for you solving 80, 90%, right? No tool can claim to be 100%. So I think we'll not come to a world where you just have one tool, but you do need one tool that covers the majority of your cases. And we are that. And then the way that we can get there is we are broad. Networking, deep packet inspection, networking devices, VMware integration, VDI integration, all the way down to resources, the cloud. That's kind of how we make it happen.
Well, you know what? I think one day we need to have a follow-on podcast discussion talking about product management. Like, how do you manage? What do you tackle? Because it's a broad, as you say, it's broad, and how deep do you go in other areas is a really interesting discussion to have, because I think that has value to my audience as they think through build versus buy. A lot of people try and build their own monitoring tools because it's very tempting, especially as we look at solutions such as Service Mesh. It has the basis, but there's a lot of complexity and issues in that. I think that would be a worthwhile follow-on conversation. What's the website?
Yeah, it's www.uila.com. And one very interesting thing you also mentioned is build versus buy. We're also getting requests, you know, that people are, you know, considering buying product or buying service, right? So especially in the case of troubleshooting, I need a tools, I need a product to do troubleshooting, but it is not a every week or everyday thing for me. Why should I buy a product? Should I just buy a service to cover that 5 incidents that I may have over the year? So that's also an interesting kind of an IT level decision. And yeah, we're going with a trend with that direction as well.
That is a very interesting conversation. I've not heard that, but I can understand that, especially for the mid-market where they don't have a person dedicated to performance or a team even dedicated to performance monitoring and application performance monitoring, and they only use it as troubleshooting versus a discipline of having a group of people working on capacity planning, performance monitoring. So if I'm only troubleshooting performance two or three times a year, why have a solution for the whole year? Pretty good conversation. We should have led with that one. That's pretty interesting.
Absolutely.
All right. For those of you who have not followed the CTO Advisor, you can find us on the web, thectoadvisor.com. Make sure to rate the podcast in iTunes. It really helps discoverability. I haven't said it in a long time since I've had I want to say technically Mark may still co-host the podcast. I've not had him on in well over a year, but he's still there. So as me and Mark would like to say, share the podcast with your grandmother, with your mother. Just go to her podcatcher, add the podcast to it. And the one thing that Mark and I have learned is that our soothing voices will put them to sleep at the minimum. You can DM me on Twitter @CTO Advisor. Talk to you next CTO Advisor podcast.